La
Oh yeah,
la
we are live, we are rolling. So our guest today is Jaya Sundaresh, who writes for Current Affairs and also has a Substack that you should check out. And we are here, our first social distancing episode.
It's March 15th. There are still human beings. Not just you listening, whoever's listening to this.
Yeah, the debate is still going on as we speak. Has anybody caught snippets?
I haven't seen it.
Yes. I saw Bernie saying he uses a lot of soap. I can't get my headphones connected, and they say they're connected, and I'm going to break my computer with my fist.
It's okay. Don't worry about it. It's fine.
I'm really mad about it.
That's I could break something, though.
Everything's breaking in our house. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah, your AC's out, right?
My AC's out. Our refrigerator water doesn't work. Everything's stupid. Hi, by the way, I'm Mary Devon. Nice to meet you. Sorry.
Hi, I'm Jaya. Hi, everyone.
So hello. Jaya, what, so you're in New York right now?
I'm in, actually, I'm exiled from New York City, cause I was out of the city and then the plague hit.
Right.
So now I, am studiously avoiding Brooklyn. So I am home at my parents' house in Connecticut. And we are, I'm here to pick up my car and I'm going back to hang out with my boyfriend in upstate New York. So
sweet. What's the vibe?
I'm an exile.
What's the vibe in Connecticut right now?
Oh, it's good. You know, my dad's poking around. He doesn't really understand that I am not to be bothered right now.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Benjamin's cat is making a lot of noise. So
yeah. My cat is like an inside outside cat. And, by that, I mean, like, every 5 minutes she chooses one or the other to do. and I'm right next to the door where she's going to be meowing. And my other roommate just stopped practicing clarinet in the other room.
I like, every time I forget that Chris plays the clarinet, and every time I remember, it makes me laugh so hard. It's just, like, such a good little detail. If you knew the guy, it would be funny to you, too. So
he's either really cool or really nerdy.
He's insane, but he's like cool, but unlike anyone else, but also not in a fully cool way. Anyway, this is very,
That explained nothing.
he's crazy.
So speaking of hyper-local concerns, just to get it out of the way, Benjamin, did you see our mayor, LaToya Cantrell's, like, measures that she has put in place for bars and restaurants?
Yeah, it was like you can only gather with people on even numbered minutes. Odd numbers, you can't do it. Even
right.
Cough directly into someone's mouth, that's totally fine.
Right. My favorite is like she's like instituted some kind of curfew where it's like bars have to close at midnight and restaurants have to stop serving like in-house at 9, like as if germs just sleep until then or something. Like it's just completely arbitrary. It's like I'm like actually really mad about it. I think that it's incredibly half-assed and will kill people. But
well, at least they're doing something.
What's the response been in New York exactly?
I believe it's been really bad. I'm not, according to the news, I don't know what the mood is on the street, because I'm not there. But, you know, I think they just closed the city schools, mm-hmm. which really needed to happen a couple days ago.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I don't know where those kids are going to get food, you know. In my hometown in upstate New York, they really lagged behind closing the city schools, but they finally did it. Tomorrow there's no school. And I mean, like half of the kids in my school district are fed by
the
city.
The only meals so that they get. Yeah.
I don't know what the hell they're going to do. I think this is going to be a disaster.
It would
be more of a disaster if we let the kids go to school, but
yeah, I mean, a lot of schools are just, like they're going to continue preparing lunch and like you can come by and pick it up, which I think will be good.
We're in the situation right now. I mean, I guess we're not quite, but we're entering the situation where it's like so many people's immediate needs are not going to be able to be met mm-hmm. because they're all dependent on society functioning whatsoever. And like the answer to this, like, should be some kind of centralized response, and there's not. And it sucks to have to go all like anarcho about everything. Right. But like, if you can't, like, if the city doesn't have, if the city you're in or the town you're in doesn't have a centralized response, it's like, I guess you have to just fucking food not bombs your way through like a pandemic.
What were you working on today? You said you were really busy.
I mean, so like a lot of different stuff. The main thing that I was spending time on is building this like phone tree, for mutual aid. Basically the plan is going to be that we have like different layers of this phone tree that eventually go to like community pods and then guidelines for like how these like community pods are supposed to look after each other. But figuring out like where the resources are going to come from is still totally up in the air.
Yeah. That's like a lot of audio equipment for all those pods. Like,
yeah, exactly. Everyone's just going to have to cast their way through this.
Yes, I mean, you were talking about resources. Sorry, keep going.
Oh, I mean, resources and like need is like, we don't know what people are going to need, right, or like really what people are going to be capable of, or what the conditions are going to be, or yeah, how long it's going to last.
Yeah.
Like, really all we're trying to do right now is create structures that can be used to fill in the blank once we have those things.
It's terrifying.
What are you working on, JR, right now?
Right now I am, well, I just finished the little mini essay for mm-hmm. my Substack yeah. About coronavirus and our response to it and what we can do to find, to try and be beautiful citizens in this moment. Mm-hmm. I'm also working on a much larger story for, I guess I can say it. I'm writing a story for The Nation mm-hmm. on leftist gun culture.
Oh, cool. Interesting.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
Yeah.
So what has your research entailed? Because I think that a lot of people yeah. are going full prepper. Like a lot of leftists are like, well, I guess I'm what's it called? Pink pistols? No. Yeah, whatever. Anyway. Yeah.
Pistols. The LGBT.
Okay, right? yeah. Okay, keep going. Yeah.
Right now, yeah. Jay is pointing a Kalashnikov directly at Zoom that we're all
at the camera.
Yeah, I'm not that cool.
Yeah.
I'm not armed myself. Mm-hmm. Okay. So last summer, I went out to Rhode Island and I hung out with the Rhode Island John Brown Gun Club. Mm-hmm. And I shot a lot of guns, did a lot of mutual aid, did some cool group interviews, mm-hmm. had a couple drinks with the guys and girls and the guys, girls, wait, what did I say? Guys, gals, and non-binary pals.
Nice.
Yes, of the Rhode Catchy. Island, yes, the Rhode Island John Brown Gun Club. And we had a really good talk. They're mostly a bunch of anarchists with one Stalinist pet tanky. And they're good guys and gals and non-binary pals. And we talked a lot about society is going to break down, mm-hmm. is their opinion, and we need to be completely prepared for the response. Mutual aid matters. And they see community self-defense as the flip side of the coin of they say community self-defense and mutual aid as two sides of the same coin. Mm-hmm. So they do things like free stores. We did a patrol in downtown Providence where we handed out MREs and condoms and Narcan kits mm-hmm. and life-saving supplies to homeless folks, people who are unhoused in downtown Providence. And this is all the same thing in their view as going to the gun range and practicing with your tools mm-hmm. and going to a pride event, being invited to a pride event and providing security services for a pride event that asks you to be there because they feel unsafe that the cops are there as well.
Right.
What scares me is that it's such a small response. There are about 20 people max doing this work in all of Southern New England.
Yeah.
On a personal level, I mean, I'm very grateful that they are, but it feels like a drop in the rain bucket for what we need.
And what do you think we need?
A lot more. I think DSA needs to be about 5,000 times bigger than it is right now.
Right.
I think Bernie Sanders needs to be winning this without a shadow of a doubt. I think we need Medicare for all yesterday. I think we all need to be staying inside our homes right now instead of going into bars. And I do understand why we don't have the kind of response that we need to community problems. But I wish our society wasn't so broken down and so defeated that we forgot how to show solidarity with each other.
I mean, it's a complete denial of reality. And for some people, I think it's a like overt denial of reality. Like they're just saying like, this is bullshit, you know. And then I think there are some people who on one emotional or like on an intellectual level are like, yeah, you know, it's really bad, but just have never internalized the possibility that like things are going to get worse, that they're going to live through something. And like, I mean, so we're all comics and like dealing with fucking just complete morons. Like trying to
who
do
don't want to cancel their comedy shows.
Yeah.
They're not even being paid. Like it's just the
they're not even being paid.
And they're not.
Well, to be fair, hosts of open mics make money off the bar. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I don't think there's any way to justify doing it, but people were pointing to money as the evidence of like why they are also like the victim in this. And then, but once you're like, oh, what is it? $80? I'll give you $80. They're like, well, it's not really, I'm fine financially. Right. So I don't know. It's not money. Like most of these people are not actually struggling for $80, even though some of them are going to be because their jobs got, their real jobs got canceled.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. My job got canceled. Had a very problematic job.
What was your job?
Saying the N-word. No. Yeah,
we're you what? I missed all of that.
Sorry.
We all tend to scream at the same time. That's like what
we're
very, very nice.
That's what the headphones were for, ostensibly.
Can't do that. I work at like a cafe restaurant place.
That would shut down at this.
I mean, I think it might be the first restaurant in New Orleans to shut. And like, good on them for it.
Yeah,
and, like,
that's luckily, the responsible thing to do. It sucks.
Like a, you know, the owner is down as fuck. Like, she's a lifelong socialist. So
right.
And a small business owner. Ooh, that's it's complicated suck for her.
Yeah,
it does suck for her, but she does a really good job, and
that's
like,
good.
She's prepared us for it. I mean, like, there's no fucking money to get. We're gonna try, but like, I don't know. It's insane to me that it is like one small business that's like taking lead on this in the city of New Orleans, like independently. Yeah. And it shouldn't have even been on her. It shouldn't have been her decision to close.
Right.
It should have been.
The city should have forced businesses to close as soon as they closed all K-12 public schools in the state.
Right.
And New Orleans has New Orleans has exponentially more infections than anywhere else in Louisiana. Like and we're going to have so much more. It's insane that
and
we're
the spread
all,
is way faster.
The spread is so fast. The fact that we have two deaths in New Orleans, a 53-year-old and a 58-year-old. Mm. And there's like 100 people diagnosed, which means there's probably 10,000, maybe not, but there's so many. There's thousands.
Yeah.
There's got to be like 1,000 or two.
There's definitely going to like a massive disparity between the tested numbers and the actual numbers. It's just and I'm not just talking about people who haven't started showing symptoms yet. I just think that they just were not testing.
I mean, we're all probably got the Rona.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've been saying that. I shouldn't be, but
I mean,
it's funny.
Yeah. Not gonna make it worse.
We all gonna get the Rona.
Yeah, it's a okay. It's a disease that spreads when you say the Rona.
Yeah,
It's a cringing. It's a cringing disease.
I did like what you wrote. I did like what you wrote about people not sacrificing when they say it can't be that bad, how they're not willing to sacrifice normalcy for people's lives. And I actually had a conversation with someone and it's so frustrating because they're like, but if you like, you're not going to get it because you're young. So why are you worried? And I'm like, that's not how, I don't know. It's just, it's
know
really
how
hard
to make you care about other people.
Right.
Right. But also they don't believe that. Like people are saying things like Italy was a country full of elderly people. And I saw the obits like as if America doesn't have a ton of elderly people.
Right.
You know what I mean? But it's also hard because I'm not a public health professional and I'm just going off of like all the information I have that like sounds really, I mean, I know it's good information, but a lot of it is just read from news articles that they think are fake or like, I don't know, they don't trust the media. It's really hard to
think of Italy, like Italy's just like a sea of like little nonas. And
yeah.
Like suave man.
Struga Nona. That Colvin asshole in Tennessee. Did you see that?
Was this hand sanitizer guy?
That hand sanitizer king.
Yeah.
The one who hoarded 18,000 bottles of hand sanitizer to make a quick buck. Mm-hmm. And I was like, you know.
And tried to sell them on Amazon for too much money.
Yeah. And he went to he went crying to the New York Times being like, oh, I'm the victim here. Yeah. Like, no, bitch, you are not the victim.
It's amazing that he would let them use his name.
Even Americans usually hate price gouging because it's proof that capitalism's evil. So they're just like, oh, no, those are outliers.
Yeah, that's my unpopular opinion is that like any he's like the oh, my God, what's the Wu-Tang pharmaceutical guy?
Shkreli.
Martin Shkreli. Yeah, he's like this guy's just like the Martin Shkreli of the invisible hand because like.
Yeah.
Like the rage at Martin Shkreli should be directed at the pharmaceutical industry because there's always going to be Martin Shkreli's as long as the pharmaceutical industry is as it is. And ditto, like as long as there's this incentive to buy up stock and resell it, like and as long as there's this incentive to price gouge, as long as it's like possible. I mean, this is like capitalism functioning, or this is like this is like the idea of like prices. Conveying information like being the most efficient way to convey demand information or whatever, like this is that. It's just that like people, it's just grotesque, but there's always going to be this guy, and there's not always going to be a guy this stupid to like let the New York Times do a fucking profile on him, but they're always going to be there. I'm sure there's like 1,000
but
of these
smarter
people.
Smarter people create whole industries to exploit people instead of trying to sell hand sanitizer. You know what I mean? Like there's going to always be someone just as evil.
Yeah.
I kind of worry about that because it's like, we are focusing like leftists as a whole. Our response to that guy has been like, well, he's just a symbol of the system. And yeah, I agree. But at the same time, I think there's value in directing like a 2-minute hate towards this asshole because it fully allows you to feel how angry you are.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. This dude needs his ass whooped.
He needs his ass whooped. I think we can't lose the trees, the forest for the trees.
Yeah.
And the trees are that, or the forest. I lost track of this metaphor. One of the two is that this dude.
You got to hit this motherfucker.
His ass whooped.
Yeah. I just like. I guess. It depends on what you think catharsis does. I think catharsis kind of sucks the motivation to act out of people. It's just like a different. I don't know.
Were they going to act anyway?
Well, right. I mean, I certainly wasn't. but anyway, I leave that to Benjamin. Benjamin does all my mutual aid for me.
I got you, dog. I'm never going to. I can't organize the two people on my podcast. I think I'm an organizer.
I just work during like every DSA meeting, but I know there's more I could be doing. What else?
So, is everyone like supplied? How bad y'all think this is gonna get?
I think that stores are gonna stay open. I think that they might. I think that like there might not be the reason I've been trying and failing to be stocked up on liquor because I immediately drink it as soon as I buy it. and I just drink more if there's more in the house. Mm-hmm. So that's what I've learned about myself. I need to hide it from myself like I'm my own dog. But
you should write that down.
I got medicine and stuff that like will be like for symptoms in case I get it. Mm-hmm. Like I have acetaminophen and good cough medicine that I like. And we have enough for like both of us to be sick, you know, if that does happen. And then I have food for a couple weeks. And then I think we'll be able to go to stores. The only thing I'm worried about is not being able to buy booze, but I'll just get like fucking, you know, really strong, I guess.
Yeah. I'm setting up a little gym for myself so I can get real swole.
And I'm going to be working. It's weird. Like we're all working. They're not going to pay us unless we like, we have to have like lists of what we're doing. Mm-hmm. So I have to do all my administrative stuff that I don't have time to do when kids are in school. Mm-hmm. Anyway, I'm like weirded out by that because I'm going to be working from home in the midst of like all this chaos. But yeah, I don't know.
You should clean the house too.
You should. Yeah. You said make Jeff clean the house.
Yeah, I don't know why
he's working from home too. Oh, wait, now includes unlimited minutes.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Oh yeah. Okay. Zoom usually has a 40-minute limit, but they're being so nice and deigning to let us have a meeting. But just quick PSA, if you come down with coronavirus, don't take ibuprofen, take acetaminophen. Don't take any anti-inflammatories. You need to be inflamed. If your doctor prescribes you prednisone, don't fucking take it. He's an idiot. It'll kill you. That's like that's how that lawyer guy, like any sort of steroid, anything that depresses your immune system.
Oh God, it makes it stronger, right? Does it make the virus stronger? Well, does the coronavirus eat it? How does
that work? Yeah, just
the coronavirus
it grows
small.
Little arms.
Yeah.
Like little Popeye arms.
I wish this was visual because every single like I see they're like four little heads and everyone started flexing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's stage two of my master plan is a YouTube channel and a Twitch stream.
Yeah.
No, not really. That's I would rather die.
I'm thinking about camming for sure. I think we all are.
You think about what?
Camming.
Oh yeah, dude, you would fucking
clean
up. I'm
not thinking about camming.
You would clean up.
Yeah, you do well.
Yeah, you should absolutely. I mean, I don't know how exploitative that industry is. I'm sure extremely, but if you can.
Sex work, yeah.
No, I just mean specifically camming.
Camming is sex work, but it's a lot less risky than like in-person sex work, for sure. I mean, yeah.
Yeah, you still get it's stalkers like, and shit, but.
Yeah, but I don't know. They'd have to really.
I'm going to be the guy who comes out of coronavirus just with only damage to his asshole.
Oh, man.
Oh, boy. All right. Well, I'm glad that we're all in decent spirits.
I'm losing my mind. I just wanted to say for the record. Yeah. Anyway, what have you started doing?
Crazy. I've been working fucking like nonstop, and I hate working. Mm-hmm. I hate.
Work sucks.
I hate organizing. Unless I'm like actually like talking to someone, that's great. But I hate all the administrative stuff.
Right.
That's like so much what this fucking shit is right now.
Mm-hmm.
I just looked. I bought ibuprofen too. I fucked
no,
up.
No, you can't.
Yeah, definitely
throw
don't.
Throw it away.
We have
throw it away. Garbage.
Burn it.
Yeah, MD
don't
has
burn it.
MD has 500.
Take them all right now.
I have 500 acetaminophen.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying.
You can have. Yeah, you can have some of my acetaminophen.
Yeah, but definitely don't take that shit.
You can't give them to me over Zoom.
I took ibuprofen today, but it's only bad if you have symptoms, right?
Nah, I don't know.
Yeah, just don't.
I took ibuprofen too because I had a headache, and then I read that you shouldn't take it, and I was like,
same.
Oh,
Ben.
I was so hungover.
Yeah, don't take ibuprofen. Oh, yeah. Do you see the picture that I took of me and Sam Fick going on a bike ride and we just sat like 20 feet away from each other while we had our little chat? It's like, it was really nice. There's stuff you can do. You don't have to go fucking insane.
I mean, I think there is like this weird.
I've been out of the house all day. It's not like I'm not going out of the house. And I ran like 3 days. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's not why I'm going insane is because I don't know I can go to a park. Yeah.
There's this weird kind of like sweetness to social distancing that like, you know, I mean, this is
it's like pushing daisies. If you've seen that show.
I mean, it's like the act of like being around someone and like physically showing care denying our natural impulses to show care is like this, like strangely sweet exercise in like reversing everything we think, but it's still like this kind of intimacy that we're like not even used to, but
it's beautiful.
Used to.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, I read something gorgeous, someone's newsletter that I can't remember the name of right now, but I'll give it to you and maybe you can put it in the show notes or whatever.
Okay.
But, she said something like, we have to make the invisible visible, you know?
Was it Ann Boyer?
Yes.
Yeah.
That was one of the most gorgeous things I've ever read.
It was so beautiful.
Yeah.
I'm gonna try and pull it up, honestly.
Yeah. I think they read it on TrueAnon.
Yeah,
oh, really? Damn it. Fucking brace spooked me.
We could still do it.
No. Now it's lame.
My dad has started calling Trump Mr. Religious, and
that's pretty good.
That's so funny. The day of prayer thing is pretty funny. That's like a good bit that he did.
Mm-hmm.
I like that.
Yeah.
Do you guys
think I should still
be anymore? He's fucking like, I feel like I wouldn't be surprised if he was like, I'm dropping out. Fuck this shit.
Who?
Trump. He doesn't want to deal with this.
Yeah.
Who would run if he dropped out?
Oh God, I forgot about all the
Republicans. Some other ghoul.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Bloomberg probably.
He totally would.
Yeah. That was a laugh that turned into a sob.
Yeah. Do you think I have to stop ordering pizza?
Yes.
No, I don't know. It's a good question.
I mean, it's only, I don't know.
Just leave it on the doorstep and I'll put it in the oven for another 20 minutes.
I mean, I think the
minutes.
The danger is not the person delivering your pizza, it's the pizza.
I mean, I think it doesn't really. Well, yeah. All right. We're this is
right.
Can
it live on pizza?
I don't think it can live on pizza very long. Yeah.
Okay.
It
can live.
Uh oh. She cut out.
Uh oh.
Scientist, and she sent me.
All right. Yeah, you just got cut. All right. Start over. You're getting censored by the man.
Okay. Well, my friend's a scientist, and I don't understand what scientists do, but she. Wait, who's here? Someone's at our house. Anyway, someone's at our house.
You can go see who that is.
Let me go see who's here.
That's a horror movie.
You could just see her just like slowly like being unable to concentrate on anything
it
other
was
than
the
person
man.
In her house.
The man got her for spreading the truth about Corona on pizza.
Yeah. So Benjamin, you think I should stop ordering pizza? These are the questions that we need to know the answers to. This is for our public.
I feel like there's going to be like an extremely high demand on delivery people, and they're going to be at extreme risk and like exposing other people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's like sort of a natural impulse the way our society is set up to like think that that's going to be an option. But so many people are going to start doing it that it's just, I think they should shut that down too. It's really scary to think about like what we're really going to fucking do, like how food banks are going to work. Mm-hmm. I mean, all the like successful models for how to deal with this are based on like places that have centralized governments.
Right.
And we don't. So we're kind of in uncharted waters here.
Yeah. Yeah.
Food.bombs are way out of this.
Right.
We're going to have to figure out what that looks like.
Sucks, 'cause I really think that like the answers to these questions are like towards centralization.
Mm-hmm.
And if we can organize like in that direction, we should. And we should take time to do that. And like, fuck, what an opportunity to like organize service industry workers and like other hospitality workers, sex workers, fucking people who work in hospitals, people who work in schools, but like all of a sudden that collapses because like, well, hopefully it doesn't collapse. We have to figure out ways to do that kind of stuff from a distance, which is like this insane challenge. But like it's such a moment where we could be doing all of these things that need to happen. And so many more people are like realizing that, like, oh shit, we need to do these things, but it's particularly hard because there's a global pandemic in the fucking way.
Yeah. I mean, there's an interesting, this is maybe a little bit cynical, but like so many people are, have, do such precarious labor that it's really hard to organize them because they're, I would imagine, because they're terrified. Like they just can't afford to lose their jobs. Right. They like,
which is a tactic that the capitalists use.
Right. For sure. But so like, right now, people in Benjamin's position have very little to lose. So it would be interesting. You know what I mean? I don't know. It seems
We're fucked. Right. I mean, like, even like, there's going to be I hope the restaurant comes back. Mm-hmm. Like, for so many reasons. Like, some of them, you know, just personally, I would like a job. but also, like, I think it's like a worthwhile place and like, there's like, I care a lot about my coworkers. Mm-hmm. I even care about my boss, which I natural impulse is to not do that, mm-hmm. but she's a really good person.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's just, it's not like there are so many people that are in the exact same boat as me. Right. Now. And
what do you think? Go ahead.
It's an opportunity and an obstacle.
Right.
At the same time. So
what do you,
I don't know, I mean, sorry.
What do you think a viable strategy for organizing people who are completely fucking out of work and fucked? Because it's like they simultaneously have nothing to lose, but they also have very little leverage over their bosses, right? Because everything's shut down. So you can't shut it down yourself.
I mean, I think there has to be some comprehensive strategy that flows specifically in one direction, and it's from labor towards mutual aid
mm-hmm.
right now, and it shouldn't go the other way. Like I think we should organize people who are like in the same sector and at the same workplaces to be in mutual aid networks, which unfortunately is going to be difficult because like a lot of it's going to have to be like neighborhood based. But
mm-hmm.
I think like all those people have to like coalesce around like just maintaining each other's well-being and sanity through this.
Mm-hmm.
Cause like, I mean, shit, probably a lot of people are going to die.
Yeah.
Like it's really scary. Yeah. But like we're going to have to be there for each other and through those networks, like organize demands and like let them stay uncompromised demands. Like, this is going to shut things down
mm-hmm.
and people are going to realize that like it's us that are shut down. So we have the capability to do that if we don't get what we want, and not just what we want, but like what we fucking need to survive mm-hmm. and what we need to make sure this kind of shit doesn't happen again. Did y'all see that thing that Jordan, friend of the show and current co-chair of mm-hmm. New Orleans DSA, retweeted a New York Times little graphic that they made about how many workers are in vulnerable sectors.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it was like, oh, they're doing power mapping for us. Like for free. Yeah. So thank you to that.
Right.
Screenshot on that.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The person.
Mm-hmm. People who work at your school, like how is everyone dealing with it?
What my school is doing is what my school is doing is they are, if you're salaried, then you're going to work from home. We have professional development meetings tomorrow throughout the day that we're all expected to go into at meet some other meeting thing that's like Zoom. Maybe it is Zoom. I don't know. Our PD schedule usually has a room number, but instead of a room number in that part of the spreadsheet, it has a link to a different meeting. And so we're going to basically learn how remote work is going to go. And everyone who's salaried is going to continue to be paid. But I was just saying the HR director called me to be like, okay, so these two people, what's he going to be doing? And I'm like, I was just actually, while it was fresh in my head, writing stuff down that like we don't usually get to do, because we have to do that stuff because she's going to micromanage me and I'm going to have to micromanage them and make sure that they're getting the work done, or she's going to stop paying all of us, which is really scary. because there's no protection in this state for workers. We don't sign contracts. We sign term sheets. It's at will employment. So we're not guaranteed anything.
Yeah.
And we're not a vital department to the school. So we have to make ourselves very vital. Mm. Anyway, that's what we're doing. We're all working from home. The kids are learning beginning on Wednesday. They're going to be learning from home. Mm. They're going to have materials distributed to them. Like there's going to set up times for small groups of parents to come in and get like packets, but we can't force them to do that. We can't force anyone to come into the school legally. But like some of the administrators are going to be in the school building cause they need to be. And cause like they need to cut checks. They have to go there to do that. Anyway, it's all very, I don't know exactly what it's going to look like or how good the teaching is going to be for kids who don't have access to, we have Chromebooks. We have a few hundred Chromebooks. So some families are going to say, we don't have a computer or a smartphone that we can use for this. We're going to give you a Chromebook. So the school is going to lose, we're a public school. Mm-hmm. So we're going to lose a lot of money that, I don't know, it's going to be hard for the families and it's just going to be difficult.
Yeah. Do y'all have any plans for kids who don't have the internet at their house? I know that there are like a couple of service providers that are doing this disgusting thing where they're just like, your first 2 months are free, which is basically, right? It's just like, yeah. I mean, and you're not locked into a contract, but obviously their plan is just to like hope that people don't cancel and then keep charging them. It's just such a fucking, it's disgusting.
Yeah. We gotta start writing down names.
What's that?
Mm. We gotta start writing down names of anyone trying to take advantage of this situation.
Right. Yeah.
Keeping lists.
Yeah. For
a director. Yeah.
Pass them along to the John Brown Society.
It's murder.
What's that? Oh yeah. No, we're not talking about parody. You know.
Yeah, sure.
Slash
S. It's basically every internet service provider is doing this bullshit.
Yeah, how does this moment like, how do you factor in like, how does it make you like rethink whatever's going on with like visiting gun clubs and like small collectives of people being like, what if society collapsed?
Well, they were already thinking along those terms. I mean, they saw climate change as something that was going to accelerate the downfall of society or the rapid disintegration of society, which would then empower people to fill the power vacuum that the state leaves when it retreats. Mm-hmm. And the people that are most prepared to fill in the power vacuum are the Proud Boys, the Three Percenters, the Oath Keepers, the right-wing militias, because they have been organized, they are rich, they are well stocked, they are well armed, and they already have their mutual aid networks. Mm-hmm. You know, not really mutual aid. They're much better organized than we are.
What are your plans going forward for research for this project?
Well, it's almost done.
Okay.
But going forward, I'd like to do a book actually about mutual aid across America.
Mm-hmm.
I know Current Affairs is branching out into books soon. Maybe not immediately, but in the next few years, we're going to start writing books.
Mm-hmm.
And I am really interested in looking at mutual aid networks across America, because I feel like electoralism is definitely studied a lot, and people at Jacobin have that shit on lock.
Right.
But I don't think people are paying attention to mutual aid. I think more people need to be paying attention.
You mean in terms of like a national publication level?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That makes sense.
Yeah. National publication level / you know, I'd like to publish a book with Current Affairs and like national, you know, lefty Haymarket or one of Verso or something.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, that's like a long-term goal. I want to keep looking at mutual aid networks. Unfortunately, Redneck Revolt is no longer a thing.
Mm-hmm.
That was the parent group to all the John Brown gun clubs, but the John Brown gun clubs are doing their thing across America.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, it's a group of anarchists, so they didn't really like having a national organization to begin with. They were very allergic to the idea of nationalization and centralization, and they're much more suited to organizing locally. So
the John Brown Gun Club here, like, rebranded under a different name, and they're all, like, definitely tankies and, like, Maoist shit like that. It's always, they all have, like, their very specific...
It's, like, it's fun, like...
Do you know, Benjamin, do you know them? Who are they?
The People's Defense League.
Yeah, we've talked about them on the podcast.
Like, a lot of, it's a lot of veterans who, like, got radicalized by the war.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Imagine that.
Yeah. That would be interesting. Side note, I'd like to talk to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm in contact with them. I also, like, I'm in contact with them because of, like, organizing essentially around, remember when we were worried about Iran, like, going to war with Iran?
Mm-hmm. Like, years ago.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess, you know, our fucking sanctions ended up killing a shitload of people.
Right.
Because of this virus. So, you know, thanks everyone who voted for sanctions.
Right.
But yeah, anyway, like, got involved with them around, like, some of that organizing. And then also I do a bunch of, like, mutual aid shit here with the, like, brake light clinics. I don't know if you've.
Yeah. You guys were one of the pioneers of the brake light clinics, right? New Orleans DSA.
Yeah. Our good friend, Caitlin Marone,
legend.
Yeah. Absolute legend and a total lad.
Benjamin,
all the boys, Caitlin Marone.
Jay, how has this coverage of the gun clubs affected your own feelings about guns, if at
all? That's an interesting question. I mean, I used to be like, "What the hell are these things doing? Mm-hmm. Why are they here? Like, why do we need machines to kill other people?" Mm-hmm. You know, just, I took the lib line on it, but, you know, I've been thinking about it a lot, and, you know, in my upstate New York DSA chapter, someone could very easily, I don't want to give anyone ideas, but someone could very easily blow away an entire progressive movement in an upstate town in like 25 seconds. You know what I mean? It's terrifying. So I wouldn't mind having some posted guards.
Right. Yeah, I'm interested to hear what MD and Benjamin also have to say about this stuff, because, like, it's like every year it gets less and less funny and more, like, realistic to have an armed left, you know? Like, people used to, I mean, we, like, one of our first episodes was dunking on a certain local gun club, and, like, and now we're just like, well, infrastructure 50-50 may collapse, you know? It's just like...
Those people aren't a gun club who we were shitting on, but.
Oh, really? Okay. It doesn't matter. But
they're not a gun club. They're just bad at organizing.
Right. But what about you, Benjamin? Are you gonna get strapped? Are you worried you'll kill yourself? I'm worried you'll kill yourself. I'm worried
I'd kill myself.
I'm worried I'd kill myself also.
Yeah.
Did Mary Devon just disappear?
Yeah, she did. Yeah. She might be going to get her AK. To show us. Me and Susanna. Oh, there she is. MD?
Our internet's fucked up. I can't hear y'all. I've been trying to say it forever. I can't hear anything.
Okay. All right. You can.
Pod chat. I'm sorry.
You can reset your router if you wish or something. It's okay if you need to try and fix it.
I mean, Jeff said the internet was fucked up, and Jeff can fix things, so it must be
like, pretty fucked
not
up
in our control. Yeah. Anyway, but I can hear y'all now. I'm sorry, it was very frustrating.
Okay, but Susanna and I have talked about this a lot, because Susanna, like, really likes the idea of prepping. She thinks it's very romantic,
it is.
Yeah. And so I was like, well, you know, like, I've always, you know, like, I kind of want to get a gun, but and, like, I grew up with guns and stuff, have thought about it, and I'm like, I'm worried I would kill myself. And, like, the solution we came up with is, like, we get a gun safe, and it has two locks on it, and she knows the combination to one lock, and I know the combination to the other lock, so neither one of us can kill ourselves without the other person helping them, which
I thought, that is extremely romantic.
Isn't that great? Yeah, we're all, everyone, but I think everyone I know but Mary Devon has thought about killing themselves. Like, yeah. Recently, you're the only one who's just got that survivor's fucking just like yell about it, but otherwise be fine kind of instinct.
Yeah, I mean, I also, my life's been pretty solid. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I'm just happy. I feel really bad saying that. For like the past 5 years, I felt really bad being like, yeah, I'm really emotionally pretty good. Mm-hmm.
No, that rules. Like, I'm happy for you.
Thank you. I mean, I definitely have like a mood disorder. Like I am like, I'm insane and I overreact and like burn bridges with people. I mean, there's a lot of stuff misfiring in there, but I just feel like not. It's usually at the expense of other people and not myself. So that's
perfect.
Good for me.
Yeah,
that's good.
Yeah.
My personal feelings towards guns have always been extremely anti them, which is like, I don't know. It does come up like. There's a point where you have to like reexamine like who we're up against, but
right.
I don't think we're ever gonna win that way.
No, yeah.
So like at that point, it's like, well, we really do have to figure out other options and take them seriously. And to take them seriously, I think maybe it's wise to just take guns out of the equation. Mm. It's like it's a very specifically American problem,
mm-hmm.
Especially with like the American left to try and deal with, because like, you know, you look at like whatever you feel about like Bader Meinhof and like, mm-hmm. you know, leftist militias that have existed other places.
The Panthers?
Like they, well, the Panthers are like that's a great example of mm-hmm. like how, I mean, they were just using existing rights,
right,
that they had, and they were like, they were murdered, systematically mm-hmm. like murdered,
yeah,
because it scared the shit out of people. But like in other countries, you know, they were doing this places where like everyone wasn't armed,
right.
You know, like in America, we're dealing with a completely different kind of like problem,
yeah.
around that. And like, I think it'd be futile, really.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's a difference between like a completely unarmed left and like a just like somewhat like kind of armed left. Like, there's a kind of like panopticon kind of mechanism at work where like you don't want people to think or to know that all of us are unarmed. Do you know what I mean? Like, let them have to guess.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I mean, have you ever read that book? This nonviolent stuff will get you killed.
Mm-mm.
It's by Charles Cobb Jr.
Okay.
And it's one of the books that's got me thinking about this idea. In it, he is a former SNCC. He's a former SNCC person. I don't officer or whatever. He was stationed in Mississippi when he was like 19 or 20 as a field organizer.
Mm-hmm.
And he talks about the culture of armed left. Like everyone in the South is strapped.
Sorry.
Right.
Oh no, you're good. Everyone in the South is strapped and everyone had a gun. Martin Luther King Jr.'s home was described as an arsenal.
Mm-hmm.
He had guns on every surface.
Nice.
Because he had to,
right.
Because he was being, his life and his family's life was being threatened.
Right.
So, I mean, this was a nonviolent movement in tactics, not in essentials.
Mm-hmm.
They were ready and willing to defend themselves. And Cobbs's assertion is that the guns made the nonviolent, nonviolence movement possible.
That's an interesting argument.
And also, notably in the book, not everyone is armed, but
right.
the armed people defend the nonviolent
mm-hmm.
students.
Right.
The armed country people with the armed sharecroppers
mm-hmm.
protected the SNCC field officers who come into their rural villages in Mississippi and protect them. You know what I mean? It's so, you know, half armed, half not. That kind of works.
I think there's like a couple of questions around like what it means for like self-defense and the left, or like guns in the left, or violence in the left. Like, because like what you're describing is basically just like that someone's got people's backs, mm-hmm. which is, you know,
that's what we need to do. We can't be thinking of an insurrection. We can't be thinking in terms of fomenting violence. We don't have the arms for that. Mm-hmm. We just don't. We don't have the capacity for that.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's not even the second, like...
Sorry, I cut you off.
Because that's like, I mean, that's... Anyone who has those ideas is living in an alternate world. Like, that's
mm-hmm. not... They're cops. They're fucking cops.
But like... The other thing is, like, you're looking at, like, weathermen type mm-hmm. tactics, yeah. where it's, like, we try and stage these acts of political theater mm-hmm. where we show what we're capable of, and we're capable of destruction. Ideally, not, like, full-on terrorism where, like, people really get hurt, mm-hmm. which is, they were successful. The only people they killed were themselves mm-hmm. On accident, because, mm-hmm. you know, it's you're playing with bombs.
Yeah.
You're going to... But I have my doubts around like all of that, mm-hmm. really.
Yeah.
I think people are more susceptible to being hurt once you introduce any of that kind of stuff personally.
Yeah.
But I mean, maybe I'm wrong.
If you're into if you advocate for the armed insurrection stuff, you have to be like an old school, like dialectical materialist Marxist. Oh, sorry, Siri's listening to everything that I'm saying and sending to the federal government.
Uh-oh, that was not a good time for Siri to listen.
Yeah.
The feds are coming.
But no, I mean, it's just like you really have to believe that it's inevitable, that class consciousness is inevitable, and I think we've seen over the past several decades that it's not.
I think the whole introducing guns into a nonviolent society mm-hmm. is... a problem, but the problem is our society is extremely violent already, mm-hmm. you know, and we have these guns are there. Mm-hmm. Maybe not in, you know, liberal urban Brooklyn, mm-hmm. you know, not in Ira Glass's home. I'm pretty sure he's not strapping, but
I would love it if he was though. That would be
that would be fucking funny.
Oh God, I wish we could show you the clip of Benjamin mishandling a gun just criminally. It was so, yeah.
Which brings us to act one.
It wasn't loaded.
No, I don't want to see that. That's terrifying.
That's how
he survived, right?
Ira Glass. Yeah, that's how Ira Glass handled it.
Was that?
Oh my God. That's horrifying.
It wasn't loaded.
Yeah, but my point was that basically, you know, in an already violent society, organizing the armed capacity is not a bad thing.
Yeah.
But if you're, yeah.
Yeah. I'm just getting more and more black-pilled by the day, I guess.
Me too.
Yeah.
Usually the conversation doesn't go this direction. I'm surprised we're living through a toilet paper shortage, and somehow a podcast that is mostly an advertisement for bidets hasn't talked about that yet.
I
think it's because we all have bidets.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
My dad has a bidet in Connecticut.
A wise man.
Yeah, and it's one of those spray bidets. Unlike the shooting bidet.
Yeah.
Ah, the hose. My friend Layla, I was at a house last night at her parents' house, and they have a hose bidet. I did not deign to try it. I didn't try it because I didn't poop, but if I had pooped, I would have tried it.
Yeah, I mean, I've tried out other people's bidets without even pooping. Just to see what it's like. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you may as well switch it up.
I call it the Glaviano handshake. What's that?
Your butthole always needs some cleaning.
That's true. But yeah, yeah. What a time to have a bidet right now.
Oh yeah.
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 It's so good.
Well, I'm Indian. We've always used like a pitcher of water or a empty yogurt container. That's my favorite one. I've been using a bottle of like a water bottle in my apartment in New York, so I don't have to like explain to my roommates why there's an empty yogurt container next to the toilet. Like, I just use a bottle of water and I just, you know, stash the bottle somewhere. And yeah.
Wait, how do you use, the bottle of water? You just use like, you pour it.
Yeah. You pour it between your legs and.
Oh, and you
use
go.
Toilet paper to wipe everything down.
Makes sense.
Got it.
Yeah.
I think you should have an empty yogurt container that just says, this is for my ass.
And, this is my ass water. Yeah. Yeah.
If people can't deal with it, just get mad at them, you know?
Yeah. Say they're being racially insensitive.
I mean, they are. So you know,
they are. That's the funny thing. No.
Literally is your culture. Yeah. I mean, and it's far.
It's so funny. Yeah, like, it's so funny that American culture is like, we don't put water on our buttholes. That's
homosexual.
Yeah. Yeah. It is gay to not have doo-doo on my ass. That is, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, man,
all those posts from the relationship Reddit that's like, my boyfriend doesn't wipe down there because he says it's gay.
Oh, God.
What?
You've not seen those? No. Do you not follow the R relationships?
No, wait.
Wait, he doesn't like, okay, this boyfriend doesn't like.
He doesn't clean his asshole.
He doesn't clean his asshole.
Because wait,
you said he doesn't.
Gay.
You said he doesn't wipe?
He doesn't wipe. He doesn't shower. He doesn't touch his asshole.
Ew.
Those men exist.
Yeah, I really think that. I find.
I hope that's fake.
90% of the good relationships posts, I suspect, being fake. I actually want to write some fake ones. That's a good idea. That's what I'll do during the pandemic.
I really want to search, fellas, is it gay to wipe your ass right now? And I bet I can find that post.
You'd find it.
Yeah. Wait, hold on. Michael's already doing it. Okay, good.
Can you hear me typing?
I washed my hair before this and it's getting bigger every minute. I'm very
excited.
That's
so cool.
Thank you. Yes. I'm excited to watch it grow.
You're like a chia pet.
Yeah. That's my other big story for my newsletter. I found a poop guy.
Oh, what? Yeah. You told me, or not, you didn't tell me. I listened to you on Poddown America. Tell me about this situation.
So I interviewed a poop guy, a guy who loves poop.
Sexually.
I'm not doing a good job of explaining this. He has a fetish for human waste.
Does he eat it? Does he like it to fall upon him?
No, okay.
Like manna from heaven?
It's not actually about the shit.
Mm-hmm.
It's about the humiliation involved in the shit.
Mm-hmm.
So he loves beautiful women, and he loves beautiful women telling him he's the worst person alive, and he loves being degraded by these women.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it manifests in a lot of stuff he does with poop.
Yeah.
So okay. You know, he followed me on Twitter, trying to get me to. I'm sure his plan was to
get you to poop.
Yeah. So I DM him. I'm like, hey, let's just talk.
Let's
like,
talk about poop.
What's your deal?
Hey, girl, you're trying to go out for some oatmeal. And
eat some yogurt. No.
About broccoli in the middle of the day.
Brussels sprouts. Yeah, and he was cool. We talked, and then I interviewed him for about an hour, and it's one of the best interviews I've ever done. And it drops on Thursday.
Nice.
So
hey.
Was he
likable other than being an unforgivable weirdo that I will never believe?
Yeah, he's a former stand-up comedian.
Yep.
Oh,
he does
God,
love humiliation.
No!
Yeah.
he's a very funny guy. He's just a guy from Long Island who likes the Dookies.
Love
and,
it.
He's a sweetheart. He's got some really interesting, smart things to say about the nature of fetish and how trauma and how fetish is turning what was traumatic into something beautiful.
Yeah.
Even though, you know, like it's not beautiful, but like to him it is.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean,
I'm
I think
trying to be accepting of that.
I won't be. I'm going to cut that. I mean, yeah. I feel like people should be able to do what they want to do, but I'm never going to be like, it's so good that he turned his trauma into that because I cannot think it's not gross. But
it is gross. It's not saying you don't think it's gross, but it's also like it helps him.
I also think that like the idea that like all fetish is has its origins in trauma, like I think that's like
no, but this one does.
Right, that makes that I believe that.
We talked about that, and I was like, you know, even if you weren't traumatized at a young age, you know, your shit would still be valid. And he goes, yeah, but yeah, I know what I just said. he said, yeah, but you know, the spiciest, most fun fetishes, they all have, they usually come from trauma. Like the most extreme shit, people aren't into that unless something horrible happened to them. That's his contention. I don't know. I'm not a sexologist. I don't know if that's true.
So does he like particularly nasty turds or is it like healthy turds?
Yeah, this is important.
You know what? We actually didn't get into the mechanics of it because I was so grossed out by that. I mostly heard about his life and what led him to wanting extreme humiliation.
Okay. I will say I am happy that he is happy. I think I can say that.
Yeah. I mean, you're into fucked up shit, too.
In these trying times. So. Yeah, I'm into fucked up shit, too. But just, like, I just mean from a strictly sanitary perspective.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like,
coronavirus is not good for this guy.
Oh, he has stopped ordering poop off the internet because of coronavirus. Right. You'll be happy to learn. You'll be happy
good,
to learn.
Good. That's a responsible gentleman.
Oh,
yeah.
God.
He does things to the poop to make it safe, according to him, but I don't really believe him. I don't really know yet.
I have to look. Underneath it, you know.
You do what?
You burn sage.
he smudges the poop.
You just microwave it for a little bit.
I am the most, poop is very disgusting. Judgmental.
Poop is horrifying.
Pee doesn't even gross me out that much. And I kind
of. Pee is mostly sterile.
That's what
I think
say.
Pee is pretty funny. But I feel like pee is sterile when it's coming out. And the second it's out for a second, it's really not sterile. At least that's how it smells.
Mm-hmm.
Like fresh pee doesn't smell, but then after 5 hours, it really stinks.
Mm-hmm.
Baking in the sun. Yeah.
Like I used to pee all over the city during Mardi Gras just on like all surfaces because I thought it was harmless.
Yeah, it's all yours now.
Yeah, and now, right, exactly. But it's all mine and a bunch of other Tulane girls who don't live here anymore. I definitely think that pee is way less gross than poop. And I've never shat in public unless I was, like, in the woods. Yeah.
I will say the last time I came to your fair city, it was the day after Mardi Gras because those are the cheapest tickets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that is
no one wanted to drink. Everyone was hungover.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you drink?
I used to quite heavily.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
I've been sober. I did the math. It's been 114 days.
It's been 114?
1 year.
Yeah. So it's been about, 4 months.
Okay.
Oh, 114. 114.
Yeah. 114 days. So I've been, life is.
Can you play basketball now?
Huh?
Can you like dunk a basketball now?
No.
Okay.
I mean, maybe. I haven't done that.
She hasn't tried.
Like, gym class.
You should try. I kind of feel like if I stopped drinking, I could fly.
Yeah.
It's a superpower. It rules. Not being the only thing is I have like alcohol dreams where I dream about drinking.
Yep.
And someone once told me, someone on my Twitter timeline said that she knows someone who calls them freebies.
That's so funny.
Like, yeah,
I've never heard
like
that. Yeah,
I think it's cute.
Yeah, I took a.
Yeah.
I mean, forbidden dreams are great. Like you know, when you're fucking someone you're not supposed to,
you don't wake
like,
up feeling guilty after those.
Whoops.
No, I wake up being like, thank God I didn't actually do it.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that too.
My coke.
I feel guilty in
wild.
The dreams.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Coke dreams are nuts.
Mm-hmm.
I had coke dreams before I ever did cocaine, and now that I've done them, I'm like. How did I know exactly what it was like?
Yeah,
that's funny.
That's Jungian, dude. You were tapping into the collective unconscious. I haven't had anything to drink in a week.
Good.
Congrats.
Yay.
Yeah, I took a month off earlier.
You got to keep your immune system healthy right now. I'm trying to cut back on smoking, so.
I
also am a smoker.
Yeah.
I'm down to one a day, which.
That's not bad.
Damn.
Yeah. That's really,
really
good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mary Devon's one of the rare runner smokers.
Oh my God.
Legend.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I run
same time.
Yeah, I run and smoke at the same time. No, I love running and I love cigarettes, but it is eventually I'm gonna have to quit one. Mm-hmm. So hopefully it'll run be while the cigarettes. You can. I'm not gonna stock up for this, so because I kind of want to force myself to cut down / quit. I'm also, they still plan on having us run the Crescent City Classic, but virtually. So everyone's just going to run their own 6.2 mile route that day. Oh, so, God. Yeah, I mean, that sounds good to me, yeah. But I don't know.
It's fun.
I think it's I think it's cute. I mean, yeah. It's not unsafe.
It is cute. No one's,
I think it's cute. And my parents told me that they'll bike behind me and cheer me on give them the route, which is very cute. Yeah, if they aren't dead by then, because my grandmother's in an infected nursing home and my dad visited her on Monday before they knew coronavirus was there.
Jesus.
So anyway.
Oh my God.
My dad's in his 70s and I talked to him and my dad has spent his entire life freaking out about what's immediately happening in front of him. But he has this weird, like, zen larger sense of everything. Mm-hmm. And he was like, you know, I'm old. I've lived a good life. I like my kids. If I go, I go. And I'm like, respect.
Yeah.
It sucks. Neither of us want him to die.
That right.
It would be like the worst fucking thing ever. But like, that's tight that he's, you know, just like, he literally said like, no one gets out of this alive. Like fucking cliche, but he like felt it. So yeah. I was like, all right.
Wow. Way
to go, Pops.
Cliches are real.
Yeah. How are your parents, Jaya?
They're okay. My mom is in India right now. She's 65, mm-hmm. So I'm a little worried for her, but she's in pretty good health. Mm-hmm. She vapes. She's a vape bro.
My mom vapes too. My mom quit smoking and she vapes now.
Yeah, my mom.
Does she do like a big double barrel one, or does she have like a Juul?
Oh, she's got the double barrel. Yeah, she mixes her own liquid. My mom's
yes,
a former.
Yes, my mom too.
Yeah,
yes.
My mom's a chemist, or she used to be when she was younger. She used to chain smoke before she had me, and then she quit. And the second she learned about vaping, the second she learned that there was a way to get nicotine without it killing you,
theoretically,
So
I bet she could. You said she's a chemist.
She used to be. Philosopher of science.
Okay. I was going to say, why doesn't she make the greatest vape juice known to man? She's got the power. Well, she's got the inclination.
She mixes all the, she buys all the ingredients that she mixes.
Oh, really?
She mixes them herself. Yeah. My mom doesn't even use nicotine anymore. And for a while, she was talking about the guy at her vape store like he was a doctor. Like she was like, yeah, he says that this health problem I have is due to this. Like I'm not mixing it right. And I was like, anyway, she doesn't have popcorn lung yet, but I'm worried she's going to get it. But she cut down her nicotine. She weaned herself off nicotine after a couple years of vaping. So now she just does it for the, like,
the psychological. That's what I'm most scared of.
Yeah.
That's what I'm most scared of. I can handle the physical withdrawal symptoms.
Same.
You know, like they just rack your body and leave you very, very sad. But I can handle that. It's the psychological. I like going outside and smoking. And my friends are like, you know, you can just go outside. And I was like, that's true.
Mm. Oh, but I love being inside and smoking. We're really trash people. And we smoke on our couch at night. And it rules, even though it smells gross in our house. And we're going to get cancer and die. But yeah, I love it. I love smoking inside with the window open. Anyway. Yeah, and I also grew up in a house where people smoked inside, so it doesn't feel that weird to me. But yeah, my dad doesn't smoke inside anymore, so that's good. He goes outside, and he says he has like 5 cigarettes a day now. So
not too shabby.
Hopefully he'll be okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Popcorn lung is too cute of a name for a disease.
Yeah.
Does it kill you?
That sounds adorable. I want that. I want popcorn lung.
I want corn pop lung. It's when you get stabbed in the heart with a knife.
And Biden comes and talks to you. I don't know. That was a poor joke.
Popping lung and Skittle Dick.
Skittle Dick.
That sounds like something you would call the guy that you were about to poop on. Shut up, Skittle Dick.
Just to bring it full circle. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, does anybody have anything else that they want to talk about?
I'd like to plug social distancing. Stay in your homes, you ghouls. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. If we're plugging things, I'd like to plug my Substack.
Okay.
Yes. It's very good.
Oh, thank you.
We all read it today.
What's the URL?
That makes me happy. Yeah. It's Jaya Time. JAYATIME. JayaTime.substack.com. And you can find me on Twitter at ShutUpJaya. JAYA.
Got it.
I picked that name because I didn't think it through. Because now people just tell me to read my handle whenever I say something I don't like. And it's really annoying, but I can't change it now.
Yeah. So.
It's a good handle. Yeah. I think
it's funny.
Yeah, I like it.
I think it's funny.
Benjamin, you got anything?
Oh, shit. I mean, now more than ever, join DSA and vote for Bernie Sanders, I guess. Yeah. Like, everyone that listens to this already has, but, like, Jesus Christ. Global pandemic. By the time this comes out, there's going to be like 6 people left. So, you know, be Bernie Sanders.
Yeah. Social distancing. And if anybody is like stressed out or anxious, hit us up on Twitter. My DMs are open. I don't know about you guys, but
my DMs are open.
Yeah.
I'll say one more thing about that. Mm-hmm. Like, it is going to be extremely stressful. Extremely stressful. This is going to be like a test to like our basic humanity.
Mm-hmm.
So like it kind of goes without saying, like check in on people who are already having a tough time. Because like it's going to be really hard for people who are paranoid or have like mood disorders or any sort of like mental instability. Like check on those people in your life and let them know that it's going to be okay. But also it's not the same for everyone, but I really think like the way to stay sane throughout this is going to be to help people.
Yeah.
And the way to like even like get through is going to be to help people. Yeah. So, it might not feel comfortable. It might feel scary, but you'll feel better if you plug into something going on like around you. Just like do whatever you can for the people in your life and the people that you can affect, even if you don't know them. It's how you're going to get through this.
All right. Yeah. Thanks for listening. Thanks, Jaya.
Absolutely. Let's do this again sometime. I had a really fun time.
Sounds good. Goodbye.
Thank you, Jay.
Yeah, thank you.
Bye.
Love you, Kate Root. Bye.
Bye.